Welcome to More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where we explore the transformative journey of reentry after incarceration. I'm your host, Venkivia Gardner. Each week, we bring you powerful interviews with experts in the field and the voices of those who have lived through the experience. Our mission is to bridge the gap between scholarly insights and personal stories by shedding light on the challenges and triumphs faced by formerly incarcerated individuals. We explore the latest research, policies, and practices while also hearing firsthand accounts from those who've been impacted. Join us as we uncover the realities of reentry, challenge misconceptions, and inspire hope. Whether you're a professional working in the legal system, a family member, an advocate, or someone navigating reentry yourself, More Life the Reentry Podcast is here to inform, inspire, and ignite change. Welcome back to another episode of More Life, the Reentry Podcast, where in this season, we've been shifting the narrative on reentry by amplifying stories of resilience, entrepreneurship, and policy change. Today, we're bringing you another successful business owner story of individuals who have been impacted by incarceration and have transformed their lives through entrepreneurship. So with us today, we have Mr. CJ Johnson. And Mr. CJ Johnson is a proud owner and operator of a family-owned business that specializes in professional, residential, and commercial pressure washing and painting. With hard work, determination, and a passion for transformation, CJ has built Samsonite Painting and More, LLC, into a trusted name in the industry. So on today's show, he's going to be sharing his journey of turning setbacks into comebacks, offering valuable tips, telling his own personal story, and just giving insight into what it's like to run a business. So make sure you stay tuned with us to not just learn about his story, but also how his story is a story of perseverance. It's a story of growth, and it's a story of second chances. So let me just tell you a little bit about his business and what it is. I already said that. Samsonite Painting and More. It's a business, and they do professional, residential, and commercial pressure washing and painting. So thank you, Mr. CJ, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Vancouver. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. I tell you, I've been thinking about it all week, and this is what I love to do. I love to share my information. I feel like the Lord didn't allow me to go through such a long time. I guess to kind of put it in a nutshell, it all started as a child, but to go through prison, to experience prison, I'm like, okay, God, you didn't allow me to experience this for no reason. So I want to, and I told my wife, I said, babe, I want to share my story. People need to hear my story, you know, because I can hopefully help them, keep them from making a lot of, falling into a lot of pitfalls along through life, especially with the young men.
And that's what we're all about is sharing stories, especially from those who've been impacted, whether that's directly or whether that's indirectly, so families, and inspiring those that are also going through the same experience, and people who are working with them, and people who are making laws.
I know it, right?
Yeah. Right. So I'm really grateful to have you here. Like this, and entrepreneurship is such a growing topic right now.
It is.
So it's very exciting to talk about. But let's before we get into talking about your business, one of the main reasons that we are talking about this is because employment is really challenging for people who have a criminal record. We know we've talked about that this entire season. Can you give us a little bit of, you know, just your own personal story and how incarceration has impacted you? And then we can kind of work our way to how that led you to entrepreneurship.
Sure. So in 2007, I got convicted of aggravated robbery, theft of property. I was just, you know, out there on drugs, had a troubled childhood, I love my dad, but, you know, not to take a crap on my dad or nothing like that, but he was an abusive person, and he had a troubled childhood as well, and I didn't find that out until later on. But to make a long story short, as far as in you know, that's what kind of led me to prison, into prison. His trauma, I kind of adopted his trauma. And so I had suffered from low self-esteem and started using drugs. And, you know, when you're using drugs, you hang around a certain crowd. So when you start hanging a certain crowd, you have to do what they do. And so I started getting involved in the wrong things, and my addiction overtook. And so I'm like, man, I got to support my addiction now, you know, because it's, you know. And so I'm trying to make a living, support my addiction, landed. So I committed robbery, landed 10 years in prison, almost 11 years. And when I got out, so in the prison I was in here in Arkansas, they have what they call a class A. A is like you're a model inmate. So by the grace of God, I was able to keep my nose clean, stayed out of fights, stabbings, riots, all that stuff. I was able to dodge that. And I was in it, but God didn't allow me to get caught up in it. So I was able to keep my class. And so I was working at the state police headquarters, and we was installing a bulletproof wall. And so I know they like inmates building a bulletproof wall. So anyway, you know, it's almost like free labor. You know, we really kind of slaves on the cool, you know. And so anyway, long story short, the glass company that came in to put in the bulletproof glass offered me a job. I'm like, yeah, cool. He's like, man, what are you doing in here? You don't even look like you're supposed to be here. I was like, wrong place, wrong time, wrong people. So anyway, he offered me a job. I went up for about 4 months later. It was like a year later, I went up for parole. And look, by the grace of God, I made it out. I made parole, got out, went straight to him. So got to working for him. And what I didn't know is he was using steroids. Steroids have a tendency to make men very aggressive and, you know, very touchy, I guess you could say. Anyway, so I got out. I worked for him 4 months. I was on time to work. I didn't have much when I got out, $100 car. So I got out, and, you know, my wife, she was trying to help me, and, you know, she was kind of putting herself in a financial bind to kind of help me, because I didn't really have nobody. Even my parents didn't help me. You know, my mom would send me money in my books, but I was really kind of like, wow, you know, nobody really gave a hand up. You know, I just got a $100 card, and prison doesn't prepare you for release. So to make a long story short, he wanted me to be, I guess he was, it's like when you get out of and you're an inmate, people know that you need this job. And they know that, hey, you know, you depended on me, because they know that for one, you need the money. Two, if your parole officer find out you're not working, you in hot water. So he was using it against me. So he would try to make me want to, you know, try to treat me like, you know, intimidate me, you know, try to push my buttons and stuff. And I'm just like, and you know, I didn't back down, you know, I didn't disrespect him, but I looked him up in his eye and I stood to him like a man. And like at the end, yeah, I may get out of prison and what I did was bad, but I'm still a man at the end of the day, you know, and you got to respect me. So anyway, he noticed that I wasn't intimidated by him. And he would pull up to work, everybody be scrambling, such and such here, such and such here, man. So everybody trying to find, like, they trying to find some work. And I'm like, yo, this is like prison. I'm like, oh my God, it's like I'm in prison again. You know, here come the sergeant, here come the lieutenant, everybody, you know, fix your rack, get your clean, you know. So I'm just like, yo. He noticed that. And I feel like the Lord was showing me then, I have something greater for you. But in my mind, I just got to get some money. I got to get on my feet. I got to have a car. I got to be able to pay bills and everything. So it was like I left one prison and got into the next. And so anyway, I was at Kroger's one Friday, sitting in the parking lot. And right when I had just got paid, I was about to get out to my truck and go cash my check. I get a text message. Look, and it's him, my supervisor, my boss. And he said, CJ, I don't feel like it's working out here. I don't want you fired. And I'm sitting in the truck and I'm like, no, this is the last thing I need. And at that point is when Samsonite panic and pressure washing started. That's when it kicked off, because it's like sometimes, like it's a song we used to sing in church, sometimes God has to put a mountain in your life to get a hold of you. And so while I was in prison, my dream was to start a paint business. Sure did. I went to prison. I kept my class. I tried to learn what I could. I tried to get certain jobs to where I can acquire certain skills. You see what I'm saying? And the true battlefield, the true transformation is in the mind. You know what I'm saying? If you have a mind to do right, you're going to do right. And I don't want to get ahead of the podcast, but I'm so full. So please forgive me. But to answer your question, it is very hard because, number one, you're kind of like, you're not the low hanging fruit, I guess you could say, you know, because everybody know, oh man, he just got out of prison. He might steal something. He might have a drug addiction. He's a bum. That's why he was in prison. So, you know, you got all these stigmas hanging over you, and you got this jacket on you that you didn't even put on yourself, but they put it on you. And, you know, society, media has programmed everybody's mind to think everybody who's been to prison is just the scum of the earth. You know, exactly. So at that point, you know, you got to deal with that. It's like trying to swim upstream. You know, you got to swim past all the people judging you. You know, people giving you the side. It's difficult time to find a 9-to-5 getting out of prison. And then if you do get a job, they gonna pay you pennies on the dollar. You know, and so So I try to encourage a lot of people to, if they can, man, get you a skill. Don't just sit in prison and just pass time. Like try to find a job somewhere where you can learn some kind of, because we do everything in prison. We do the HVAC, we do the painting, we do the flooring, we build the furniture in these state office buildings. I almost got my CDL while I was in prison. So it's these programs are not for, it's not programs for inmates, but it's more like you have to think outside the box. You can say, well, where are the programs at? No, you have to say, okay, where can I get a job at? Because like I say, if you hang around the barbershop long enough, you get a haircut. It's like that in prison. If you hang around a certain field or there's a certain job that needs to be done, you're going to pick up some skills. You're going to pick up some know-how. So I encourage people, man, while you're in prison, get some books. You can order books. Get some books on whatever it is, a skill, something that pays good money. And so to answer your question, I know I kind of rambled. It's important that people be mindful of the fact that, you know, don't get out of prison with these high expectations. Because everybody not going to see you like you see yourself. So you're going to face some hard times. You're going to get a lot of doors slammed in your face. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you hit on some really, really great points. And one, I don't want to lose it because it's not something anybody has directly mentioned. But I definitely understand. So you brought this perspective here. Like we always talk about like the jobs people do get, they're either going to be low wages. Like you said, you're not getting paid very much, at least not to satisfy or sufficient to the needs that you have, especially in this economy.
Right.
Yeah. So that's already a challenge of its own. Stigma of getting a job, just having the criminal record.
Right.
But there was a piece that you mentioned where And I think I kind of understood it as like, I had it in my head. It's okay. I'm just going to go with my thought on what it is. But just this idea that even when you do get a job, they know that you need the job. And so
that's it.
In a way, like also being like taken advantage of because they know that you need this job. And that's not something people have directly spoken to. And so I appreciate because that does happen to where they know that you need this job. So they kind of take advantage of you. Ain't no kind of to it. They take advantage. Yeah, like some people, they do that. They take advantage of you because they know or they see you as like desperate. You
that's
need
it.
This.
That's it.
And so I liked how you said that, like, I ain't free. Because come even on. Here, it still is operating like prison, where everybody's scrambling because, like you said, the lieutenant is coming,
right, the supervisor is coming. Right, you know?
And it's like, so am I really free? Like, am I? And so I just thought that, like, when you were saying that, I'm like, no, that really does happen because they know they need this. And people will do that. So I think that that's also another challenge that people experience on top of the stigma, on top of like the low wages and just trying to, you know. And so I think, yeah, that's a real challenge of its own. And then the second part that you also talked about, too, was find a skill. Like you maximize your time in prison.
In prison. There you go.
While you're there.
Yes, ma'am.
The programming wasn't necessarily designed for you to be successful, more for free labor and for things to get done.
Right.
But if you can take something from that and come out when you are released and use it to your own benefit, you've maximized while you were there rather than just sitting around and waiting for something to happen and then coming out with these high That's expectations right. and then realizing the harsh reality of when you step outside those walls.
That's right. It's almost kind of like... I got my son, he's 17, and I try not to baby him or I let him feel life.
Yeah.
Because if I protect and shield him so much, then when me and mama are no longer in the picture, the world gonna eat him up, spit him out. Because he's never, he's always had that cushion. So I tell people, you in prison, I know it's a world within a world and it has its troubles and its trials. But I was telling my wife one day, I said, you know what, baby? I said, sugar, I said, the same way I moved in prison, I got to move in here, out here in the world. And what I didn't realize, the prison was really a training ground for being in the free world.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same system. It's just in a condensed setting.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I tell guys, you know, the way you would need to move in the free world, you need to move like that in here. But the same way you need to move, how can I say this? The way you need to move in here, you need to move in the free world. The same way you was on your P's and Q's, you didn't want to get a write-up, you didn't want to get caught up in the wrong kind of guys, you know, you stayed out the way, you didn't bother nobody. It's almost the same way out here. You have to stay out the way. You really have to kind of, you know, surround yourself with guys or people who are doing a lot better than you. Well, man, you know, they act funny sometimes. Not all of them.
Yeah.
Not all of them. I've had, and a lot of times, family members will be your worst enemy.
Yeah.
They really will. I've had perfect strangers do more for me than my own family. And so a lot of times when I got out, my family was trying to, because it's like this, when you get out of prison, you like fresh meat. People know you've been gone. So you don't know their secrets. You don't know what's been going on out there. It's a whole, and so you come out, and so everybody like they want your time. Hey, come over here, come hang with them. And really, they even though we're like, well, I ain't got a lot of money. So no, you're more valuable than money. Mm-hmm. If they can control you, they can control your money.
Yeah.
They can control your house. They can control your car. They can control your relationships. People just want a person that they can use. Mm-hmm. And they know when you get out of prison, your heart is open. You're glad to see everybody. You're like, hey, you know, mm-hmm. everything is kumbaya, you know, but it's not. And I had to realize, I'm coming, and my dad even told me, when he was at Starbucks, he said, man, because my uncle was acting kind of weird. And I said, man, what's up with uncle? He was like, man, he said, I'll be honest with you, son. He said, man, not to pin badges on myself, he said, they didn't expect you to be doing as good as you're doing. Mm. So I want to encourage guys, a lot of people are betting against you.
Yeah.
A lot, pretty much everybody betting against you. Even my mom told my wife, I hope he ain't got no jailhouse religion. And I'm like, dang, you know, like, Like, okay, all right, cool. My own son, he even admitted, he said, all right, dad. He said, yeah, I was hating on you, dad. I was hating on him. And I love him because he's a kid. His mind is undeveloped. He's been mm-hmm. programmed. But that was my fuel, Van Kiva.
I know.
That was my fuel. Everybody slept on me. And that, boy, you tell me that ticked me off. I'm like, really?
They was praying on your downfall for real.
For real. I'm like, yo. And that's just like, oh, game over. It's over with. I locked in. I was already locked in, but I locked in Godzilla mode because mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, okay. And so I realized that I can't lean on nobody else to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. I can't allow nobody, because even the Bible says to encourage yourself in the Lord. Mm-hmm. So I had to encourage myself. All I had was God and my wife. That's mm-hmm. it. So I encourage a lot of guys, man, you have to lock in on yourself. You have to focus on yourself. And you... And I'm not going to preach, but lay your foundation first. And that's a foundation with God, with Jesus Christ. I don't care. I'm going to tell you, people are like, oh, man, I need a good job and a good woman. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No.
You don't. Brother,
you lay that foundation with God, you're going to be all right.
You're going to be good. And that's what I'm people, hey, CJ, how you doing, man? How you doing? Says God. And it's like, go right over here. No, okay, I got you. I know I believe in God and everything. But man, but I see you. I'm like, brother, let me tell you something. I ain't got no secret sauce. This ain't no Big Mac. You hear me? But you got to get before God. You have to learn to talk to who made you. Mm-hmm. If I need to fix something that's broken, like my truck, my Chevy truck, I had to get a new motor in. I couldn't take it to Toyota. What Toyota going to tell me? Man, you better take that to the Chevy dealer. So I tell people, if you broken inside, and I was broken. I come from a dad who had an abusive childhood growing up. He went to the military to, you know, get some form of discipline. But he tried to discipline me and my brother, like we were soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it caused even more trouble. We were boys. So what I'm seeing in a lot of incarcerated black men and mm-hmm. women, there's a lot of trauma at home.
Yeah.
That has caused them to start using drugs, start stealing, robbing, causing murders, being abusive to women and men, mm-hmm. being abusive to children. There's a root cause to everything. And I tell a lot of people, I've seen guys, they get out of prison, they go get a good job. But a good job ain't gonna do you no good if you're not healed. Mm-hmm. Having employment is no good if you're not healed. Mm-hmm. Because all hurt people do is hurt people.
Yeah.
So I tell people, you know, you don't have to, but you need to learn to talk to God and say, God, I am broken. I've sat in this prison 10, 15, 20 years, and they don't teach you nothing in prison. God gave me a mind to start pursuing things that are better. I could have went in prison, a drug addict, and still, and they get, you know, it's drugs in prison. Mm-hmm. It's all kind of stuff to get in prison. But I knew that this was not my life. This is an outcome of something I've experienced in my life. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I hit my knees while I was in jail and I cried out to God. I said, Lord, I need help. Mm-hmm. And that's when things began to change for me. So I don't mean to preach, but I tell anybody, you can get the business, you can get the money, you can get the wife, the kids, the big house, all that. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have God, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. if you don't have him, you will not be successful. I've seen a lot of men get all that big stuff, get a good job there, but they fall back to drugs. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they know what landed them in prison in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, I was telling one of my buddies, he works in a reentry program named Kenny Reed. Shout out to Kenny Reed. He was a prisoner, got out of prison, and they hired him when he got out to be in a reentry program. He said, CJ. And so what this reentry program does, they get you a job, like at Tyson's Food or, you know, a nice warehouse job, and you live in this little reentry facility until you get enough money to get your car. And I think after so many months that you get your apartment, then they release you. You're good. You're free. You're free now, but you just
go to the they provide you with support resources. Yeah.
That's it. He said, CJ. He said, bro. He said, man, these men need counseling, brother. There's no counseling facilities in the prison. To every action is a reaction. So that means you got a lot of grown, full beard, bowled up little boys that was traumatized from a childhood or just grew up in a broken home that led them to do what they're not bad people. Some of them, I'm telling you, Vancouver, some of the realest people I ever met in my life was people in prison.
Oh, same.
I'm talking about solid.
Mm-hmm.
Day ones. I'm talking about solid. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, and I get home and I see my family and I said, I miss my partners in prison. I miss some of the, I don't miss prison, but I miss some of the guys in there.
Yeah.
So it's not, and I mean, some of the kind-heartedest people, mm-hmm. I mean, It's amazing. But anyway, I don't want to, you know, get off on that. But I encourage anybody, get employment. Yeah, employment is tough. But work on yourself.
Yeah.
Work on those skeletons. Work on that pain. Work on that brokenness. Work on that unhealed version of you. Because that's true success.
Yeah.
That's true happiness. That's true prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
Prosperity. So I tell people, and the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. That's the way he designed it. He created everything.
Yeah, and he gonna direct you. He gonna put what you need. If it's counseling, he gonna put it there for you. If it's, maybe it's not counseling, maybe it's some other type of support, he gonna put it there for you.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate a sermon any day. I appreciate a sermon any day. I really do.
I wish, I didn't mean to go, but I was just like,
no, you're fine. Because I think there's a lot that people can take from that. And I, what I know and what I've seen, and like I said, just even family members in my own experience, a lot of them, when they go, they do find faith. They do find religion, mm-hmm. whatever that looks like for them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In prison. And that, yes, that transforms their life, their perspective, and that peace you were talking about. their mind, how they're thinking about situations, how they're thinking about their experience while they're here.
Yes, ma'am.
And what they're going to do afterwards. So, I mean, it, yeah, I appreciate it. And it's a game changer when you lay that foundation and you lay a solid foundation.
That's it. Woo, come on.
Yeah, it's so trust me, I know. So look,
can I say this part? Because I'm like, Lord, this game is it. So people say, well, God got a blessing with my name. He gonna open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing I won't have room to receive. Okay. But God ain't gonna pour out a blessing on something that doesn't have a solid foundation. God is not gonna build nothing on a broken foundation. Mm-hmm. He's the master builder. Mm-hmm. But it's up to us to get him to, it's up to us to lay that foundation. And God has given us the blueprints. So why God ain't doing this? God ain't doing that. Well, do you still got bitterness in your heart? Mm-hmm. You got unforgiveness in your heart? You still mad at your mom and daddy? You still mad at your baby mama? You still mad at your sister? You still mad at your uncle? You still mad at your auntie?
Mm-hmm. You still mad at yourself?
You still mad at yourself? You ain't forgiving yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So God can't do nothing until you get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
See, we still want to hold on to something, but saying, okay, God, I pour out a blessing. God, give me something. I need, but God said, you got to let go of some stuff for me to give you some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because God ain't going to mix no blessings with no mess.
Yeah, that's true. Nah, that ain't going to work out.
It ain't going to work out. And so I had to realize that, because I remember one time, and I'm going to make this quick, it was a CEO there. He lied on me. Oh, he did. Oh, I was so mad back here. Boy, I tell you, I said, Lord, I'm telling you, I ain't going to lie. I want to put hands on him. I was like, he lied. I mean, just straight lied on me. I was like, for no reason. So I remember walking around, I was all swole up, mad, like, man, you know, and wasn't speaking to him, wasn't saying nothing to him. And so one day, it was around my furlough, when I could come home for like 5 days, was coming up. And so, but I was still holding on to this unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I he was wrong, and I ain't gonna speak to him. I ain't gonna talk to him. So one day the Lord told me, forgive him. I said, okay, Lord, I forgive him. But the Lord said, speak to him though. See, we say, I forgive you, but you still walk past that person and won't speak to him. You haven't truly forgiven them then.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord said, one, if you just speak to him. So I went at the warehouse, went to the warehouse. I seen him. I said, good morning, sir. He looked. He couldn't say nothing. He was like, wow. Because I had been walking around there for months, not talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I seen him again. I said, hey, good morning, man. What's up? And then he was like, hey. And I tell you, Van Keeper, when I did that, God opened up a door of blessings. Mm-hmm. I made furlough. Then when I made furlough, I came home. I got a job increase. Like that, I went to a house to where I was no longer on the prison compound, but I was downtown in Little Rock at the state police headquarters.
Yeah.
I'm wearing free world clothes. I'm eating free world food. I'm talking about, and I'm thinking, man, if I would have kept that grudge against him, I would have missed out on this opportunity. And that's where I begin to sharpen my skills to where I'm able to be in business for myself today. But I learned that sometimes holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness can hinder so many of your blessings.
Yeah, no, it can. And it'll set you up for, and if you, not it will set you up, but like if you work on that, you rid that bitterness, and allow for healing, it'll bring you opportunities. And like you said, this has brought you to Samsonite and the business that you have right now. How long is Samsonite? How long have you been in business? How long have you been in business?
So I started, the business started in 2018. 4 months later, got fired, and I kicked Samsonite off in 2018. We got licensed in 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So about, if I can do math correctly, 7 years.
Seven years.
So do you care, what's it been like running a business and running a business as somebody that has been impacted by incarceration? What has that experience been like for you?
It's been, boy, I could write a book on that. It's been very challenging. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been challenging. But what I realized is, like, it's no different than anybody else starting a business. Mm-hmm. We all have these preconceived notions. We all have these fears. Even if I'd never been to prison, I would still be afraid to start a business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the most challenging part was lack of financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about money. I didn't know about managing money. I didn't know about LLCs and getting liability. I didn't know about taxes, the tax codes, and all that. I'm gonna tell you, the hardest part about business is the business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Painting ain't hard. Pressure washing and all that's the fun stuff. You know, mm-hmm. you know, but the back office, the behind the scenes, the stuff that you up 2-3 in the morning, you know,
right.
the advertising, you know, knowing how to advertise,
the accounting,
all that, you know, you're the receptionist and the painter and the, so you try to answer the phone, you know, you got all these hats you got to wear until mm-hmm. you begin to grow and generate enough revenue to where you can say, okay, I can delegate now, I can hire. And I thank God for my wife. She is, mm-hmm. she's a retired office manager, and that girl is, whew, boy, I tell you, that woman there, boy, that little woman there, she's, I told her, I said, girl, you were sent by God, you my angel, because she come into it knowing she already, she shout out to Jackson State. She graduated from Jackson State.
Okay.
With a bachelor's in business. And she retired from the VA. And so she can say, hey, daddy, I'm coming home. I said, come on home, mama. You know, and she helped me with the business. She be out there pressure washing with me, out there paint. She don't have to. She's like, it's boring at home. So I said, okay, then. But she came into the business knowing a lot about the admin portion of it.
Yes.
So that took a huge weight off of me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, me just learning the business. Because that's the biggest thing is learning your business. Like a lot of people say, oh, well, you're just putting paint on the wall. No, there's certain paints you can't put on the wall. Mm-hmm. It's certain paints you got to use for certain substrates. It's certain, you know, temperatures you can't paint. It's so many things to paint that people don't realize. Certain tips you can't use in your sprayer. It's so many things. And people think, oh, it's just pressure washing. No, I ain't, you know, I can just go to Home Depot and get a pressure washer. I'm like, no, it's not. I mean, we got to use rust removal. We do graffiti removal. We will remove, if you see brick with the white stuff oozing out of the brick, and you're like, what's that stuff? Yeah, so that's efflorescence. So you got to know how to remove. You're working with certain acids. You can't let the chemicals that we rinse off, you can't let it go down the drain because that's OSHA violations and, you know, EPA violations. So that's a lot to it. And so the biggest part of, the hardest part about being an entrepreneur is the unknown, you know, the unknown, because you can come out your womb knowing how to do electricity, but then the business is the most challenging part.
Yeah. And I really appreciate you normalizing that. Like mm-hmm. the experience of starting a business is, mm-hmm. is no different than anybody without a criminal record or mm-hmm. that hasn't been in incarcerated jail, prison. It's no different.
Right.
the hardest part is knowing the logistical and doing the logistical parts of a business. And that would be complicated for anybody. Yeah. I don't know much about business myself. And you, I'm talking tax codes.
Exactly. And I mean, this is stuff I'm still learning. It's so much to know. It's fun. And I tell people, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
Yeah.
Enjoy the ride. Don't be like, man, you know, and we sometimes we can get out here on social media, YouTube. We see all these people and we see where they at today. But you didn't see where they when they were sleeping in their car or they were eating ramen noodles, living in a grandmama basement or, you know what I'm saying? Or they was, you know, had food stamps or bumming a ride or, you know what I'm saying? They don't show that part. It's just like, hey, look at me now. That's now we're looking at it. But let's look at you back. You know, 10 years ago, let's see how you were doing then. So I tell a lot of guys, man, don't get so sucked into the reality, into social media, because in reality, I mean, look at Microsoft. They started out of garage. Steve Jobs started a garage. I mean, Tyler Perry slept in his car. Steve Harvey, he was homeless, sleeping in his car. I mean, and that's what a lot of people have to realize is that they think that, hey, I'm going to start a business. I'm going to be a millionaire overnight. No, it don't work like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. It takes a lot of dedication. And I tell people, you know, before you throw all your chips into a business, just test it out first. See if that's something that you really want to do. I encourage every inmate, anybody, it ain't got to be an inmate or somebody been in prison or whoever. I encourage everybody to start you a business because the only person who could fire you is you. I can go to work today, like my buddy, he works in the post office. I said, man, they laying off 10,000 employees. I mean, when he got the job, man, I'm in the post office. I ain't got to worry about this, no. I got a steady paycheck. You might not. You might not. Right now, you know, with the administration we got in now, they cutting jobs. They letting people off. So I tell people, you know, test the waters. Don't go buy all this expensive equipment and all this. Get you a little light equipment, just enough to say, hey, let me test drive to see if it's something I want to do. Do your research.
Yeah.
Do your research. Find mentors. Get people who are winning, not people who coming up. Get people who are winning and who has won and see, hey, will you mentor me? That will save you a lot of pitfalls, a lot of headache, a lot of debt. And another thing too, Vancouver, it's hard for people who've been incarcerated to get funding, business funding.
Yeah.
It is so difficult. It is so difficult. I remember I apply for an SBA loan and they said, oh, you felon, you can't get it. So yeah, it has its challenges, definitely. But it's not a day I regret it. Not one day.
That's what I was about to say. Even with the challenges, it's not something, it doesn't sound like something you would make any different decision.
I'm not. And I tell people, you know, like, hey, sometimes people say, you know, I don't encourage people to don't do what you love for a living. No, don't do what you love. And, you know, we've got this notion that, but just find out what you love to do and do it for a living. Oh, that sounds so good, don't it? But that's not reality. It is cute, but it's not reality. You have to do what
don't works. Have a business idea or unsure if you can start a business with do the interest. Do
what's making
there
money.
Are thin business
I don't like
ideas
the paint
that are profitable
paint
and
you
don't have to be the next
grand a week
business idea.
Six, seven,
One,
8 grand a
become
week.
Become an event planner.
Man, I'm gonna learn how to paint.
Start a house painting.
And then
business.
Once I learn how to paint, I'm going to get somebody else to do the paint because I don't like doing it. And I'll pay them
Four,
and still get my cut.
Be a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm. You see what I'm
Five,
saying? So it's all about knowing
chef.
How to leverage.
Six,
find
start
something
your own
that's making
trucking
money, spending
or
money,
transportation
or making
business.
Money. And then
seven, Start a mobile car wash detailing business.
Get kind of get it up and going, and then you could delegate.
Start a commercial cleaning business.
$20 an hour. Painters making $16, $17 an hour.
Start a graphic design business.
So, you know, you're making $5,000 on a paint job.
Or a tailor.
After paint and paying them guys, you probably walk away with $2,000 or $3,000.
And don't have to become the next $1 million idea.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And really, you see the money coming in so good, you might love it.
Right, this might become your new love. Okay, I'm
my new love. You know, so hey. So I encourage people, you know, learn the business. You know, yeah, learn your skill, hone your skill, get as good as you can at it. But learn the business of the business. You know, learn the business of the business.
That's one thing that when you were talking earlier, I was really keeping in my head, like learn the business of the business and learn the industry too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if that's an industry you're for certain, you know, tech is what I'm going to do. Okay. Learn the tech business. Cause every, like you said, tech don't all work the same. Painting don't mm-hmm. all work the same. You can't just mm-hmm. paint on anything.
No, you can't.
So it's like, learn the industry and leverage all the opportunities that you can to be able for you to have a successful business.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Because, I remember, you know, when I was coming up, you know, go to college. And I used to feel bad. I'm like, man, I didn't go to college, man. I feel like a bum, you know, because everybody was like, if you don't go to college, you ain't had no good job. You're going to be working McDonald's. You don't go to college. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with college. That's what you want to do that. But I tell a lot of youth, I say, man, it's plumbers making millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's electricians making millions of dollars. You know, it's architects. It's guys in construction making millions of dollars. It's guys with dump trailers, just dumping trailers, making millions of dollars. Guys with suck pumps, just going sucking up out of what they call those septic tanks,
mm-hmm.
making millions of dollars. So, you know, we've been fed a lie for so long that benefited other people. But now people waking up, and I've talked to young men, and some of them, I said, you know, I see them at Walmart, and I say, so man, you know, because I don't know, I just got a thing for the youth, you know, I love kids, you know. And I said, you know, I was trying to encourage them and speak life to them because these kids really catching it nowadays, you know. And I said, man, I said, so, you know, what's your goal? Where you see yourself in 5 years? Oh, man, I'm going to get me a trade. I'm like, what? They're like, yeah. I'm like, go ahead, man. What's up? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to welder school. I'm like, go ahead, brother. You know, mm-hmm. do your thing, man.
and making money.
And I see that they realizing that, you know, it's best to be your own boss if you can. If you can be your own boss, you remove the limitations on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the saying, your boss ain't gonna pay you to be what he is.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't. Your boss making $100,000 a year, he not gonna pay you enough to make what he making. No. Because in that case then, I mean,
What they need him for?
So, you know, so it's kind of like, I tell people, these people are going to, most companies are going to pay you long enough just to keep you there.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it's like, I got to work for them because I got to pay my rent, got to pay my car, this, that, and the other. So I encourage people, get your side hustle. And once your side hustle, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with a 9-to-5. 9-to-5 is cool. That's what you want to do. Hey, it's your life. Do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to walk on eggshells when you come to work. You don't have to deal with toxic coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not stuck in one place all day, day in, day out, unless you just choose to be. I like my job because I meet all walks of life. I meet so many different people. And I get to fire customers if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
They being rude or they, you know, trying to take advantage of me, you know, my service or something. you know what, ma'am, sir, I don't think you're my customer. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think you should find someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and if, you know, if when I walk away, I'm kind of like, man, that was kind of empowering, right? You know what I'm saying? Because I was always on the other end of it, you know, like,
yeah.
Please don't find me. Please, I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah, and you worked hard to put this together.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's empowering being able to be your own boss. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, you just walk around, beat your chest, but, you know, it's like, you know, most people are not going to set themselves up to fail.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about being a self-employed. 9 times out of 10, you're in this to win. You're in this to create a better life, generational wealth, to be in a position to buy a mama house, be in a position to buy, change your whole family life, get daddy, you buy your daddy the truck he always wanted, buy your, see your wife pull up in the G-Wagon or something, or, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, just being able to buy, live in a big house, or maybe own some land or whatever. That's why most people start a business, because they have aspiration, goals, and dreams. So I tell anybody, if you have aspirations, you have goals, you have dreams that it's going to require a lot of money, you need to start your own business. Your job is not going to pay you enough for you to fulfill your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
They're not. You've got to be able to take your money at work and set aside enough money for a side hustle. Once your side hustle becomes bigger than your 9 to 5, it's time to put in that 2-week notice.
I know. And look, and I know some, and I know somebody who just did that. That's why I'm like, they just peace out. I'm out of here.
Mic drop. We do. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, that's how it works. Like,
that's how it works. You know what I'm saying? I tell people, don't just up and quit your job self and start a business. That is a recipe for just ultimate failure, and you'll hurry up and run back to a 9 to 5, and you would never want to try to start a business again. Keep your 9 to 5, because that keeps your lights on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And set aside, say, hey, I ain't going out to eat just for a couple of weeks. You know, I ain't going to Starbucks. I ain't going shopping. I ain't going to the movies. As a matter of fact, I'm going to cut some subscriptions out that I normally get every month. Them $9, $10, $20, hell yeah. I'm putting that money toward my side hustle. Why? Because I don't want to, because I like my mom. She retired from the post office. She makes less now than she did when she was, and she's on a fixed income now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dang. And I see that. When you retire, they think retirement is just so, retire. No, you retire and go back to work again. So I tell people, but if you retire and you had a side hustle that whole time, you just say, hey, I'm just running my own business now.
Mm-hmm.
And you making so much money, the retirement check come in, you just put it up. You save mm-hmm. it. Or you just reinvest it back into the business or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I tell people, be your own boss if you can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Be your own boss.
Okay. I like that. Okay, well, tell us about some of the stuff that you have planned for the future for Samsonite.
Well, in the future for Samsonite, we're working on trying to open a pressure washing and painting store. So we're working with an individual out of Florida. And what I've noticed is, in the pressure washing and painting industry, it's not many brothers or black men mm-hmm. or sisters that owns actual storefront or equipment store, you know? Mm-hmm. And especially being in the South, you know? And so that's one of my goals, to say, hey, you know, I want to be, I can do it, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's one of my goals is to, because I noticed, you know, nothing wrong with any other race. I have nothing against them, but I just know that you know, the cards have been stacked against us, and that I want to be an example to other young black men to say, if I can do it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. I come from an abusive dad. I come from depression, low self-esteem, drug addiction, prison, to this. You know, and a lot of times we don't have enough hometown heroes in the black community. We don't. We don't. And so I want to be a hometown hero. I want to say, hey, man, you, CJ, man, I never used to. But man, this is me. How? Cool. And then to answer the other question is that that's where the, my mentor going to come in. I want to mentor, want to work with young black men, especially young black men who come from broken homes and, you know, just come from youth homes and stuff like that. I can relate. I basically know what's going through their minds, what they're dealing with. And I want to create a program to where they can come. I want a facility. They can come stay at this facility. And that's a facility. Not only would they live there, but they'll be taught a skill, whether it's electricity, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, or something. They will live there. We'll feed them. We teach them how to tie a tie. You know, we teach them how to, you know, properly, how to wear, you know, wear, teach about wearing suits. And, you know, how to, you know, we have a guy coming in, give him a tailor suit, you know, and just to be a program where they, because we have prisons for corrections. We have rehabs for drugs, but we don't have facilities to build and structure young men. And so that's what I want. I want a facility to where these young men can come in. They don't have to worry about what they're going to eat. I'm going to teach them about agriculture and farming and stuff like that. And just kind of, you know, pull them away from the cell phone. Go in a place where they got to disconnect from the cell phones. They got to lock in and focus on acquiring skills and learning how to be self-sufficient and how to be independent and responsible.
Which is, and when you think about it, I go back to what you say, like what, especially black communities, black family households, what may be missing sometimes is that, that structure, that support, guidance, resources, and ability to be able to have responsibility. Well, I'm not gonna say responsibility because sometimes we have a lot of responsibilities, but to learn really how to be responsible and be independent and take care of ourselves. And so, yeah, I think that that is amazing. And especially where we're from, we're seeing a lot of young black men being shuffled into incarceration and jails and being shuffled into groups that aren't going to serve them in the long run or going to put them in, like you said, they're going to have outcomes that they probably didn't necessarily want, but their actions and who they're around, that's what led them there. We have a lot of that going on right now, and it's so unfortunate.
It's so unfortunate. And, you know, here, I know the governor is building another prison. And so I know they're going to be looking for people to fill those up. So
exactly. And they're going to be looking. And to be honest with you, speaking to that, I'm going to actually make sure that I put this in the description box and just also put it on the social media pages. You can call. It's the Arkansas Justice Now in Fayetteville. It's an organization. And they are really, if you are from Arkansas and you know about this, them building this 3,000 bed prison that they're trying to call and vote against it.
Yes, I'm gonna vote against it. I didn't know nothing about it.
I've seen it in the last couple of weeks, and I was sending it to my parents. I was like, have y'all seen this? Because you know who they're looking for.
Yeah, you know what they're looking for.
So it's no secret. So I said, we need to be calling against this. And
yes, ma'am.
Especially if this is not what people want. And us as taxpayers, We're going to pay for this.
We're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it. And, you know, that's one of the most profitable
businesses there businesses is.
Here in Arkansas. I mean, prisons. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say Vancouver, when I say we did everything, I mean, they had us out cleaning up roadsides, cutting cemetery yards. UAPB college hired them to come up there and do work for them. I'm just like, and it's like they making money off of it.
Making money.
Money.
Money. Yeah. And if you didn't know people in prison were working, you definitely found out with the fires that happened earlier this year.
There you go.
Getting paid pennies.
Pennies.
To risk their life.
To risk their life. Thank you.
I'm not even going to go.
I know, right? That's a whole other
I'm not even gonna do it. We're gonna stay on the business though.
Right, exactly. Because
we want to empower those that are listening, or if you are working with people that have been system impacted, to, you know, take on these opportunities, mm-hmm. look for alternatives, be creative, maximize the skills and the experience that you do have to create opportunity for yourself.
Right.
Especially when there's opportunities may be limited.
That's right. And I mean, right now, with this administration in office, you know, he's doing a lot of cutbacks. And I think people are kind of asleep. And I'm like, y'all need to wake up. Mm-hmm. Something is happening. You need to, and it's a lot of people on different ones I follow on social media who are successful business owners and melanated like myself. And they saying, hey, y'all need to, we got to pull together. We got to learn how to work together. We got to learn how to acquire skills and learn how to create financial wealth, because, mm-hmm. you know, it ain't looking pretty.
No.
It ain't looking pretty. And people, I'm like, okay, well, you can roll the dice if you want to, but I'm not. And, the cards for centuries have always been stacked against us. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound racist or biased. It's facts. It's history. If you do your look at history, it'll show it to you. It's hidden in plain sight. So that's why even more I feel the urgency to talk to the youth, because they're going to have it harder than we had. Mm-hmm. They're going to have it harder. I don't know how old you are, but they're going to have it harder than, because I'm 42. So they're going to have it. When I was 42, you know, it was the beginning of what kids are dealing with today.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have social media. I didn't have TikTok, all that other stuff. We didn't have that. You know, we played outside, sun up, sun down. You know, we worked hard. We cut grass in the neighborhoods, washed cars, I'm hustling on the weekend, my grandfather trying to make a little money, you know. But we've been, this generation has been sold that, hey, you can just get rich just sitting at home.
Yes, put it on TikTok and in the morning you got a sponsor.
and that's right. And so everybody chasing this. And you see when they shut TikTok down, people went, oh my God, I can make a little. And I'm like, if that didn't scare y'all and wake y'all up.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Well,
you don't own TikTok. They own it. So you need to have ownership.
Mm-hmm.
When you own something, they can't come take that.
They can't.
And learn the law. Learn the laws. Learn your rights.
Mm-hmm. And learn how business work. Yeah.
Bam. That's it.
When you learn those things, you're going to be all right.
You're going to be good. You're going to be good. So tell people, learn law, learn tax law, because we can't beat them with guns.
Mm-hmm.
We can't beat the system with guns and violence and marching. We got to beat them with pen and paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you fight. It's you got, if you learn, you got, it's a game. Learn the game.
Yeah, because I heard something the other day, and I think somebody might have said this, like, you know, they were specifically talking about money. Like, you money, that's just the world we live in. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And so if you highly against money, I'm sorry. That's just the world we live in. So learn the game.
Learn the game.
Learn how it works. Game.
That's right.
And use it in a way that is going to be productive and successful for you and advantageous to other people.
That's right.
Learn the game.
Exactly. Just like Monopoly. You can buy the courthouse. You can buy the, if you got so much money, you can buy the jail. That can actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you will learn to attain wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Learn wealth. Learn how money works.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Quit buying the Jordans. Quit buying all these highlights. That's what broke people do.
Mm-hmm.
Broke people chase labels because they're trying to, because they lack self-esteem. So they insecure people buy all this covered drape and Gucci and Louis Vuitton and Prada and all that. Broke people do that. Some of the most wealthiest people I've run across look like plain Jane. You wouldn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you. Mm-hmm. Plain Jane. But they own properties galore, own land. I went today, one guy, me and my wife, we was in Costco. I'm just shopping. I had my little company shirt on. He seen the baby. He said, oh, pressure wash. He said, man, I need you to come out and give me a quote on some. He said, you do motor homes? I said, no, not really, but, you know, hey. He said, well, I need my driveway and stuff cleaned up. I said, sure. Van Kiva. That man, now just looking at him and his wife, you walk right past him. Wouldn't even think nothing about it. Went out to their house. I'm like, big old gate opened up. I'm like, hold up now. Hold up. Hold up. Wait a minute.
It's not what I'm thinking.
What? Pulled in. Big old house. Big, long, huge driveway. Pulled in. He like, hey, what's up, CJ? I'm like, you? When I say the man got a museum of cars,
mm-hmm.
he got a whole building, metal building, on the back of his house.
Yeah.
He bought up Challengers, Chargers. He said they was about to go out of business. He knew they would stop making them. So he went and bought up a bunch. He got old school Cadillac Corvettes, classic car. But he was driving a little old two-door Ford.
Yeah.
Jeans and a t-shirt. So I know we probably better go over time, but.
No, you're good.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, like, he knew it's not about the labels, y'all. We got to quit trying to look rich and be actually rich.
Yeah, it's not about those material things. And most successful people, like, they're not spending their money. They're allocating their money in more productive ways. And that's something we, like you said, that's a mind shift we got to have as a community. And that takes, you know, through education, learning,
Yes,
recognizing our own pain and where that's coming from, that you want to do that.
Yeah, come on.
And, you know, so we can be successful business owners. We can be proud business owners and we can create that generational and financial wealth. I'm not talking about for your kids. I'm talking about for your kids' kids. Like
that part.
That's what we're talking about. And so there has to be a shift in how we're thinking and how we're moving.
Yes, ma'am. That's so true. Like I get it.
Well, look, tell me, let's do this really quick.
Sure. Uh-huh.
What's one piece of advice you would want our audience to leave here with?
You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna make it short and sweet. The Bible says, what is the profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You got a lot of lost souls out here.
Mm-hmm.
They drifting. The suicide rate is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Because people's souls are aching, hurting, lost.
Yeah.
So I tell anybody getting out of prison, lay your foundation first. Well, I ain't used to praying. God ain't worried about how you sound.
Mm-mm.
Just keep it real with him.
Yeah.
Men, quit being too cool to pray. You want a good wife? You need to change. Mm-hmm. You want a good wife? You got to be a good man. How you become a good man? You got to follow after Christ. He was the best man. Mm-hmm. He was the perfect man.
Yeah.
So you got to take the page out of his playbook and apply it to your life, which is in the Holy Scriptures. All this money, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and all these things to be added unto you. God said, I give you everything you think you want if you just follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Well, my daddy would, you ain't your daddy. God can break the generational curses with you right now.
Yeah.
If you just lean and trust on him and ask God to help you, lead you, and guide you, mm-hmm. he'll do it. I'm a living testimony. I ain't telling what somebody told me. I'm living it.
Yeah. I love that. Well, look, thanks for that. Thanks for that ending and that final thought. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about your business or even if they want a quote about a service, where can they find you?
You can go to my website, spmpsolutions.com. And if you'd like to book any kind of services or we do free quotes, free estimates. You can also find me on Facebook at Samsonite Painting and Pressure and More, Samsonite Painting and More Pressure Washing. And on Instagram, the Samsonite Painting and More. I'm also on TikTok under CJ Johnson as well. And you can see all my content, all my videos, kind of get a feel on what kind of work we do. And I'm also on LinkedIn as well. I was trying to find my LinkedIn page, but it's under Samsonite. You look up Samsonite Painting and More. I couldn't find my handle, but anyway. So I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. I know you can find me. TikTok, CJ Johnson, and Samsonite Painting and More Pressure Washing on Facebook and on Instagram.
Absolutely. Well, look, I'll make sure I put all of it in the description box so they shouldn't have no troubles. It'll be linked right there below. Well, look, Mr. CJ, thank you for joining us today.
I really enjoyed. It was a pleasure.
All right. Well, look, if you all enjoyed this episode, make sure you don't forget to hit the subscribe button and tune in next week to hear more about entrepreneurship after incarceration. Thank you.
Hit that button, y'all.
Hit the button.
All right. God bless.
Were you inspired by today's story? If so, find you a mentor, attend a networking event, or explore the tools and resources shared. Don't wait. Take action to connect with those who can help guide you on your entrepreneurial path. If you're ready to start your entrepreneurial journey, check out the resources in the episode description for resources on mentorship, business development tools, and a host of other resources. These resources will help you take the first step. If you are considering becoming an entrepreneur, I highly encourage you to check out the Geo Reentry Connect link in our description box. This resource will provide you with information on what is needed to start a business, as well as resources to assist you with starting a business. Be sure to click those links below. Thank you for listening to this episode on More Life, the Reentry Podcast. Be sure to come back next week to learn more. Before we end today, I want to give a huge thank you to the More Life, the Reentry Podcast team in helping with the development and production of this episode. Thank you. If you are interested in joining our team, please fill out the form in the description box. If you want to share your story, please fill out the form in the description box. We thank you for joining us and be sure to tune in next week.